Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.
To the Gospel according to John, and chapter 14, if you want to follow, just a few of the verses from John 14. Jesus said, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. In John 14 and again in John 16, Jesus is breaking the news to his disciples that he's actually going to leave them. And we're very familiar with the few verses that I've just read when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But then a little bit later on, down in that chapter, he says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. So I just want to kind of paint the picture of what was happening here. The disciples, as you know, had been following Jesus now for 3 years, and they were looking constantly at that time. They were looking for a king, Messiah. They knew the scriptures that Messiah would come and set up a kingdom. So the Jewish mind was constantly fixed on this thought that the Messiah will come, he will deliver us from the Roman rule, and he will be king, right? So they knew the scriptures regarding the earthly kingdom that will come. Now, one day that will come. The Bible says he will come back again, right? He will come back to the Mount of Olives, and he will rule for 1,000 years. That's what the scripture teaches. But at this point, when Jesus had come to the earth, he had not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He'd come to set up a spiritual kingdom in the hearts and lives of those that would trust and believe in him. Right? You with me? So now they've been with him for 3 years, and they'd seen the miracles that he'd done, the amazing things, teachings that he'd brought to them. And to them, at this point, Jesus is the answer. He's the Messiah. He's the one who's come to set up his kingdom. But then Jesus begins to break the news to them that actually he's going to leave them. To them, at that point, it really wasn't good news. He's now saying, I'm actually going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will come and live and abide within you. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And again in John chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, he says these words, Now I'm going to him That's the Father who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to the sin, of righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I go to the Father. And so again, he's saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, to be with you. Now I want to show you a little verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, right at the end of that great epistle that Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And this is what he says. Verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So I want to talk to you just for a little while this morning on the member of the Trinity that so often gets overlooked. We talk about Jesus, we talk about praying to the Father, but notice what Paul says here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, that's the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, fellowship means two-way. Communion. Conversation. Enjoyment. Right? So we believe in Christ, we pray to God the Father in His name, but do we forget the third person of the Trinity? And the question I want to ask is, do we really have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Do we really hear His voice? Do we really understand that He has come to take the place of Jesus, as it were, and to be the revealer of truth to us and our guide and our inspiration? So Paul says, may the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How much do we really treasure the fellowship or communion of the Holy Spirit? So I want to go back, right back in the Bible, to the book of Genesis just for a moment, to the first instant in the Bible where it actually talks about the Holy Spirit. And in the first opening verses of the Bible, in Genesis 1, it says these words, in the beginning was God. It doesn't set out to prove God, it introduces us to God. He is there. The beginning came out of God. God did not come out of the beginning. God has always been there and always will be there. Amen? And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So if you can imagine, at that moment, at that part, at that moment in time, as the Bible opens, the story unfolds, God looks down upon this earth and it's covered with water. It's filled with darkness and it's really in a chaotic void state. So there was no life, no land, no living creature or organism at all. On the earth it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, it was in total and absolute chaos. Now, a lot of people, a lot of theologians believe that that happened because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then the devil, Satan, Lucifer, rebelled, and this was the result of that rebellion. God put the whole thing into absolute chaos. However you want to interpret that, and however you look at it, the point is, when you open your Bible, that's the description that we get. However it happened, we can only assume. But it was there. It was filled, overflowed with water in total and absolute chaos. And then the Bible says, and God said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And so in the first few verses of the book of Genesis, which is the seed plot of the Bible, because everything else flows from the book of Genesis that you have in the rest of the Bible, it's all in seed form there. In the first few verses of the book of Genesis, we've got a picture, a principle, if you like, of what God does in salvation. We've got a picture of how God breaks in by the Holy Spirit into chaos and confusion and darkness. And the reason and the way that God did that was, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And I want to say, and I want to remind us all again this morning, that basically, without Christ in our lives, that's the state of our hearts, right? That's the state of our life. We were once in chaos. We were once in darkness. We were once without hope. And something happened. I'll tell you what happened. God spoke. He may have spoke through a friend. He may have spoken through his word. He may have spoken through a televangelist. He may have spoken through a preacher in church. He may have spoken through some colleague at work. He may have spoken through your parents or siblings or whoever he used. But somehow you and I heard the word of God. And what happened was the Spirit of God took that word and began to chase us and began to woo us and began to convict us and bring us to Christ. So ultimately, when we turned to the Lord, the chaos was broken, the darkness was shattered, and we were born again. And don't just say amen. That's what happened. Now let me show you. Let me show you what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19. This is Peter writing to the believers. This is what he says. You know it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Notice what the Bible says. The empty way of life. The empty way of life. Don't make any mistakes and don't have wrong thinking. People can have everything they want materially in this world, but without Christ, it's an empty way of life. Right? I stood in line at Panera Bread not too long ago, and this guy talking to me, noticed my accent was a little bit different. You know what I mean, don't you? And but I can put on the Texan drawl if I really want to. Anyway, but he knew I was from somewhere. So he says, "Where are you from?" And I always say Frankfurt. No. Originally, so I said, "Okay, I'm from the UK." Oh, how did you get here? Why did you come? I said, "I got here on American Airlines, and I came here because I'm a pastor of a church." Oh, I'm an atheist. Oh. I said, oh, really? And as we were waiting in line, I thought, this is going to be interesting. I said, I kind of feel sorry for you. Why? Because I said, at the end of life, you've got nothing to look forward to. Your philosophy is it's finito, finished, period, end, non-existence. I said, you're wrong. I said, let me tell you how Jesus came into my life. And then I said to him, look around. I said, everything that you see, there's a design to it. Even that chair, that table, there's a design. if there's a design to it, what did it need? And he scratched his head for a minute, not literally, but I could see his mind. So I thought I'd put him out of his misery. I said, well, everything that's designed needs a designer. That's true, isn't it? And you know, I said, you may not believe this, but the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are, folks, aren't we? When you look at the human body, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? No, but I mean, when you consider the eye just for one thing and how the nervous system works and how everything operates in our body, and it's got the capacity to heal itself in many ways, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I says, come on, I said, you can't tell me that we just evolved from something that crept out of the ocean, you know, or some big bang theory that everything fell into place. I said, if we're fearfully and wonderfully made, there's got to be a designer. He said, well, I don't believe. Went and got his soup, and we parted company. But, you know, I just thought, well, I've shared the Lord with him. And many of us were like that when we first heard. But Peter says these words, you weren't redeemed, you weren't brought back to God with corruptible things from your empty way of life. And I just felt as that guy walked away from it, his life's empty. I don't care what kind of job he's got, his life's empty. But Peter says it was your empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. So one, let's just think about before we were converted, before we were saved, before we were born again, it was empty. Get that into your brain, into your mind, and really understand it. We were empty. We had nothing to look forward to, nothing to aim to really, that was of any real significance. Now let me read you another scripture. Peter again is writing in 1 Peter 4 verse 3. He says, you have spent enough time, he's writing to the believers, you spent enough time doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. And they think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they openly rail abuse on you. So what's Peter saying? He says, we've spent enough time in the empty way of life, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, etc., etc., idolatry. He says, that's where we were. That's where we were, in an empty way of life. And folks, let me say this morning. It's good to look back. It's good to really take stock of where we've come from and what we've actually been brought into. In 2 Peter 3 and verses 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 10, Peter talks about a number of things that we should add to our faith. And this is what he says in 2 Peter 1. And just, I think this is really interesting. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 10. He says, his divine power, that's God's power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Great and precious promises. We're partakers of the divine nature. And then he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. If you possess these qualities in increasing measures, you will keep yourselves from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this, what he says. But if anyone does not have them, verse 9, 2 Peter 1, if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten he has been cleansed from his past sins. Now, I ask you a question this morning. Is it possible to forget we've been cleansed from our sins? Well, you may say, well, no, not really. But Peter says it is. He says it is. If you don't add these things to your faith, it's just as though you've forgotten. And I think that means you've lost the thrill. You've lost the sense of revelation. You've forgotten where you came from because you haven't added these things to your faith. Do you understand what he's saying? So it's possible to be born again, to be saved, to have been delivered from an empty way of life, and yet lose the thrill of that if we don't keep visiting back and saying, thank you, Lord, from where you brought me and from what you've brought me to. Right? And that's why when we come back to the cross, we see a blood-stained figure, Jesus Christ, dying for us, and we understand that without that, we were lost. Right? We were lost. So it's good for us to understand where we've come from. Paul takes the church at Ephesus back in Ephesians chapter 2 and says, you has he made alive who were once lost in sin. And he goes on to say that they were basically puppets of the devil. Folks, listen to me. That's where we were. So when we come together, we ought to really kind of explode with praise and worship, thanking God that he's delivered us from an empty way of life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. From chaos. And what happened in Genesis was God spoke, the Spirit of God moved, and he says, let there be light, and let the dry land appear. And that's exactly what happened to people who are born again. The Spirit of God moved upon us. He chased us down. People were praying for us. And the Holy Spirit convicted us. The Word of God came to us. Light and life came. And a new nature was placed within us when we were born again. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I think that's amazing. And when we were born again, what happened? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that we received the Holy Spirit and we cried out, Abba, Father. So when we were born again, the Holy Spirit came into our spirit and we cried, Abba, Father. So the Comforter that he was talking about in John 14 and John 16 came to dwell in you when you gave your life over to Christ. Don't neglect him. He came to you to have communion. To have a conversation, to have fellowship, to help you, to comfort you, to teach you, to lead you into all truth. Don't neglect the third person of the Trinity. So how much communion do we really have with the one who God used to woo us, to bring us to himself, to bless us, and to comfort us? In fact, the Bible says these words, and you've heard me say this many times, but in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says these words. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen to me very carefully. Please don't quote that verse on its own, because it shouldn't be on its own. It's linked with the next verse. But God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. The world can't see it. They don't have a clue. They're living empty lives, but you and I aren't. The Holy Spirit that's come from God has come to open our eyes, to unlock our ears, to open our minds, and to show us the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen? So that's not applicable to Christians. It's only applicable to non-Christians. To you and I, the Holy Spirit has come. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. He says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And when you read on, he says, what man knows the mind of man except the spirit of man that's in him? Right? You don't really know me. It's only if you had my spirit you could know me. But you can't. I'm not prepared to give you my spirit. Because it's mine. But you would only know me then, really know me, if you could have my spirit. And what's Paul saying? He says, we didn't receive the spirit of the world, but we did receive the spirit from God. So God actually gave you His spirit so you could really know Him. Folks, know Him. Right? So we could know it, so He doesn't leave us in the dark. The Holy Spirit always banishes darkness, like He did in Genesis. He banished it in our lives. And then He comes to us. He plants His Spirit within our spirit and says, now you can really know me. Praise the Lord. And in Romans 8, that same wonderful chapter where it starts with no condemnation to those in Christ, he says, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, He will also quicken your mortal bodies. Not just at the resurrection, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus, think about this, from the dead, it was the Holy Spirit that raised Him from the dead. If He dwells in you, He can quicken, make alive, quicken your mortal body. In other words, the Spirit of resurrection lives within you, and if you're sick, He has the capacity to quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. So Paul ends the Corinthian letters by saying, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect Him. Listen to His voice. Let Him guide you, because He will bring in moments, He can move into chaos and bring new creation. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.